And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. It's good to be with you today. All right. I think we have a different phone number here at the station. For the last few weeks, the phone line just hasn't worked right. I think John Paul and Randy have traced it down to a defective phone line by the person that provides the phone line services, or the company, rather. So I have a different phone number for you. So whereas previously the last few weeks I haven't been able to take phone calls just because of the other issues, I have a new phone number for you if you want to call. So if you do have a question and if you want to make a comment, this program is called Health Essentials, and obviously I'm very, very biased, which means I want to tackle topics from a natural point of view that... So if you try something that God has made, like a fruit or a vegetable, an herb, a vitamin, a mineral, a protein, the net result is you don't have a horrific side effect. I heard the worst story of all time yesterday about a 7-year-old child that took a COVID vaccine and instantly died as a direct result. And I thought to myself, what does it take to get people to see things clearly? You see, we all have biases. I'm freely admitting that I have biases. But how many people have to die? I just wonder. The number here at the station is 586, I'm sorry, area code 903, 586-6592. That was very nice of Randy to write the phone number down for me. Otherwise, if it was left in my memory yesterday afternoon, I probably would have forgotten it already. All right, first... A unique study that I find interesting. I have always liked studies that give us something that we can do to help ourselves. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at this, but one of the conclusions that I think we all have to come to is this is our body. It's the only one that we're ever going to have. We're not going to be given another one. I would like it very much if there was a miraculous brand new body, but that doesn't happen. Somebody's trying to call, so let's try this right here. Good morning. Welcome to the...
Dr. Morgan.
I'm sorry. I had to hang up on you. You called 5257. If you will call 903... 586-6592. Let me see if I can get you in, okay? So dial that number. Okay, I'm trying to push the buttons right. So if you dial line number 2, and it may be that it rolls over, I don't know. I haven't done this before. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Dr. Morgan.
Hey, it worked. Thank you very much.
My husband has recently been diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and we're in the process of educating ourselves on what we can do. And he's being told that drugs will keep him from becoming crippled with it. There's not a lot of science.
Really?
Really?
Is that what they told you? Because I've seen the exact opposite. I've seen people that have taken the drugs for 20 years become crippled and become in a wheelchair. Because of the side effects of the drugs. That's what I've seen.
Well, that's why I'm calling you, because they're prescribing sulfasalazine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were told to consult with their dermatologist because it could cause skin cancers. And then there was another drug they recommended, but they wanted us to consult with their glaucoma specialist because it can cause... eye problems. So my question is, what can we do from a natural standpoint to improve it?
Okay. I think you're asking a very, very good question. Okay, just a smidgen of education. For the most part, rheumatoid arthritis was extremely rare 150 years ago. Do you ever, like, wonder about things? Like, why is it more common now, whereas it wasn't common then? Well, let me give you three or four ideas. Number one, In the year 1941, a group of researchers and scientists and physicians appeared before Congress, and they held hearings, and they decided that we had a horrific problem with, this is one example, women that suffered from horrific anemia. And that's a real deal. That is not good for a woman to be anemic. She's going to suffer in multiple areas. She'll never reach her full potential as long as she's lacking the very thing that she needs to have very high quality blood. So they came up with a solution. They decided to start fortifying foods, and the foods they chose to fortify were things like rice and corn and wheat. And so if somebody went to the store and they bought a box of Lucky Charms cereal, I just kind of made that one up. I don't know if Lucky Charms was available in 1941. So they started adding what's called reduced iron. Now, you and I don't even know what reduced iron is, but I can tell you what it is from studying the topic. It's just old rusted metal that oxidizes. Now, since 1941, we've had a meteoric rise in the occurrence of autoimmune diseases, things that we never had before. So what I'm going to suggest is, when we eat packaged foods that are full of reduced iron, we're asking for our body to start rusting out. You might even could build a case that that's what rheumatoid arthritis is. It's the immune system rusting out the joints. Now, obviously what I'm telling you is this, avoid rusted iron. So don't eat any foods that are fortified. So if you look at a label of a food on the shelf and it says this is enriched with 11 vitamins and minerals or it's fortified, skip it. Just go to real food. Number two, it's been my experience that every single case that I have ever seen in the last 35 years of an individual that develops rheumatoid arthritis, they always have what I'm going to call a trigger. And there's probably many ways I can say it, but I'm going to float the idea this way. Okay. There's going to be one particular food that your husband is eating that his immune system can no longer tolerate. It hates it. And so let me give you some examples. If he were to eat, say, wheat or dairy, I'm just going to choose those two.
Okay.
What happens if the lining of his gut is not and strong enough to resist that food and it just passes right through the lining of the gut, undigested, and it settles into his joints? Now, when you say rheumatoid, which joint is most affected in his situation?
It seems to be his hands. Okay. And his feet are starting to bother him, but his hands, they've hurt for years, and he's worn, compression gloves, but he's never really taken anything for it.
But it's been very annoying, right?
Yeah.
I mean, to say the least. And so, if this undigested food, like gluten or gliadin that comes from wheat, or lactalbumin that comes from dairy, if that undigested dairy protein goes through the lining of the gut because he has a leaky gut, and it travels to his hands and settles in, guess what the immune system's going to do? It's going to say, what the heck is this foreign protein doing in this knuckle joint? And then the immune system's going to do its job. It's going to try to attack the foreign protein. It's going to try to go after it. But what happens is it destroys his joint by releasing the chemical warfare. This is our own immune system, or his immune system, attacking him. So how do we turn that off? Well, number one, you identify what food is the trigger. I think it's easy and straightforward. There's a lot of other people, they couldn't figure it out if they wanted to, because I don't understand the process. But I use a very simple technique that doctors a long time ago used to use to figure out which foods are offensive and which ones aren't. And so he has to do that.
Okay.
All right. Number two, or number three. I lost track already. If I asked you what your husband's energy levels are, if I said the number 10 represents just excellent, tremendous energy, you feel amazing, and the number 0 would be, oh my word, I cannot scrape my carcass out of bed, I'm so exhausted and so weak, where is he on that line, or that continuum?
On a daily basis, I think he's about a 3, but now he mowed 3 yards yesterday.
Oh, well, that's impressive. Wow. So by sheer force of will, he says, get up and do some work, right?
Yeah. Now, he may not feel like doing anything today, but
Well, that was my article I was going to read this morning, and I'll get to that after I get off the phone with you.
Okay.
But, and so what we have is we have a body that just is not producing the energy that it needs to, right?
Right.
Okay, there is a, and this is only one example. There's a lot of other ones, but the idea, and so when I've looked at a lot of the old studies on rheumatoid arthritis, what they would do is they would take a needle and they would place it into the swollen joint. Man, you can't even believe the joints I've seen before in my lifetime. I've seen some that look like somebody took an air hose, stuck a needle in the hand or the wrist, and they blew it up. It looked like literally a big balloon was blown up. And I thought, does that show you what the immune system does when it's angry and it's attacking the person's hand? It's just incredible. So,
okay.
So when they aspirate the joints, doctors of the past would find out that they almost always harbor an infection. There's one organism called Proteus mirabilis, and that's been shown to be in high concentration in somebody that has rheumatoid. So all I'm suggesting is, besides him having this hidden food allergy that we need to just go ahead and figure out and resolve, that's easy. I didn't say he's going to like it, because sometimes the very favorite food the person consumes is the very thing that they're reacting to or their immune system is attacking. But how do you get the immune system to calm down unless you remove what it's attacking from the body? It can't be done. Okay. He's probably got a low-grade infection of some kind. All right? Probably in my own mind, this is what I'd say. Sometimes a doctor's job is just removing the obstacle to healing. So if he has a food allergy, let's kick it out and get rid of it. If he has a chronic low-grade infection of some kind that is just completely this draining, exhausting burden on his immune system, let's figure it out and get rid of it. Now, one way to get rid of it is to improve the health of the immune system so it can actually do its job. I kind of like saying the idea, what do we do if we can, or what happens if we can actually get the immune system to rise to the occasion and do its job and keep the body in good working order? So basically, what rheumatoid arthritis is the body's not in good repair. The body's not healing. What would you do if a man developed shingles and the next week he had chickenpox and then he had the flu the week after that and then he had projectile diarrhea from a gastrointestinal bug and then the week after that he's got some type of rash that breaks out and the week after that so that's an immune system that's not working right. It's exhausted. It's worn down. And so if we could figure out these first two, that would be a start in the right direction. Then we can do number three. What do we do to rebuild and repair the lining of the gut? And the reason why I'm saying that, the vast majority of the human organism's immune system is found in the gut lining. And so that's in disrepair. So we have to focus on how do we nourish and feed and heal the body. Now, step number four, if I can just be generous here, there is the largest gland of our immune system is called the thymus gland. It's the very gland that regulates whether we have rheumatoid or if we don't have rheumatoid. Or autoimmunity versus my body's quiet and peaceful. My body likes itself. That's the thymus gland. The thymus produces very specific cells, one's called a T regulatory cell. There's another one called a T helper cell. I think even another one that I've read many times about is called a T suppressor cell. When your thymus gland is running or beating on all eight cylinders or firing on all eight cylinders, it produces an ample amount of these cells, and what they do is they tell your body, don't attack me. Why are you attacking me for? Stop it. Don't do it. That's a healthy thymus gland, so we need to restore his thymus gland back to great working order. Number five, the spleen is the most incredible filter of the immune system. From reading the Bible, when the Roman centurion took his spear and he thrust it into the side of Jesus, it says in the Bible that water and blood came out. So to me, you know what that describes? It tells me that he thrust his spear into the spleen of Jesus, which in some forms of medicine, they call that the organ of great compassion. I don't know much more than what I'm telling you, but I find it very interesting to read about those things. I'm just like you are. I'm a very, very curious person. And so the spleen, it is supposed to filter all the impurities and all the waste out of his joints. So in a roundabout way, I'm telling you it ain't working right. Number 6, the kidneys, in my mind, are one of the greatest gatekeepers, so it wouldn't be hard for me to convince you that the kidneys need to be improved, right? If I just say that. All right, take my word for it, but they need to be better. So if I had his labs in front of me, I'd go through his comprehensive metabolic profile, and I would look at all these markers for clues about what's not working right, and then I would in turn say, Mr. Smith, this is where the problem is, here, here, and here. And I would try to build a strong case, because he's the one that's got to walk out the door and say, okay, I'm willing to give up this food. I'm willing to do what I can to fix this and fix that. And so this is a starting point. And then you try to start fueling what's called the inflammatory system, anti-inflammatory system of the body. And that's the easy part right there, because I could say, man, what would happen if we started having you eat meat instead of grains that are full of lectins and all that sugar? Well, guess what would happen? He would have a magical healing experience and say, how come my doctor didn't tell me this? And I'm going to say, I have no idea. I can't read minds. I'm not a mind reader. It's almost a comedy hour sometimes. How do I know? So the anti-inflammatory system, what if we start giving him fish oil every day? What if he actually started doing things that have been shown to help rheumatoid? Guess what those are? There is a root that produces a sweet-smelling flower called ginger. You ever heard of ginger?
Yes.
That would be horrible to eat some stir-fry that has ginger in it, wouldn't it? I'm just joking with you. There's another one that's a close cousin. It's called turmeric or curcumin. Like a really yellow... So the yellow French's mustard... Guess what gives it that yellow color? You got the turmeric in it. It's just as yellow as it can be. That's been shown to nourish that pathway where the body can do a much better job of managing inflammation. And then what else did I think of? Oh, I'm a huge fan of stuff like spirulina, chlorella, minerals like magnesium. But that's a start for you right there. That's how you get out of this stuff. So you can't ever make the rheumatoid go away, because he has what's called the HLA-B27 gene marker. And when you have that, that means you have a proclivity or tendency toward developing rheumatoid, meaning if the conditions are right. But if we remove all these stressful things from his body, guess what happens? The body says, oh, he must want us to heal. We're going to get rid of all that inflammation. And then we can start rebuilding his body, where he can start mowing 5 yards a day, and the next day he's not worse for wear. So if he mows 3 yards in one day, he pays for it the next, doesn't he?
Yes.
Because he's just moving all those highly inflamed joints past the limit of what they can handle. Basically, your husband is swimming in an ocean of inflammation. And it may be that he needs to start giving blood. He might have to find some way to get all the old rust out of him. That's one way of doing it. Well, is there a pond in the backyard full of leeches? He could just hang out in the pond and the leeches would pull it out of him. That's really just a joke.
Will labs take blood from an older person? He's 79.
Yes, of course they will. I'm not aware of any age range where they don't need blood. They're desperate for it. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, they may use it to save several lives. That's a pretty cool thing. And that's reality. I think they called me this week and they said, hey, Roy, it's time to come give some of your blood again. Okay. I'm game. I couldn't do it this week. It just didn't happen. But maybe next week or the week after that, I'll find a chance to drive over to Carter Blood Care and look at the television, listen to the nurses make jokes while they draw my blood, and 5 minutes later it's done. Literally, I don't even feel the needle go in. I don't even feel it come out anymore.
You mentioned a low-grade infection. You know, his sed rate.
Yeah.
Several times has been high on his blood work.
Well, and what that means is his body is so inflamed. He's swimming in inflammation as we speak. So when the sedimentation rate goes up, that means he is not in good repair. And that's why you're calling. I mean, do you know how much I appreciate you right now? I'm so grateful for somebody like you that's trying to help their husband. What a good wife you are. You're the Proverbs 31 woman. She causes her husband no harm, only good. That's you.
Well, he also has glaucoma, and he has treated that for 10 or 12 years, and his vision is still good, you know. So
okay.
We're blessed.
Absolutely. And okay, he may be 78, he may be 79, almost 80. I still want his body to be in good working order, because if you have good, radiant health, that's your ticket to serving God.
Hmm.
And, you know, don't take what I'm saying the wrong way, but his time is short on earth. Of course, mine is too. We're going to blink, and it's going to be like the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to be dried up like a blade of grass and gone. So we're traveling through this earth. We're moving on toward the next life. But you know what I like about your husband? I personally love the idea of him ending on a high note, where he had vitality, and he could use all his energy and talents blessing and helping you and other people. I think he should start his own lawn mowing business.
Oh, he was mowing neighbor's yards. He's being neighborly.
Talk about a good man. He probably did it for some older widow that couldn't do it herself.
Well, we live on the lake, and there's people that aren't here all the time, you know. And so.
Oh, well, what a sweet guy is. Which lake is it?
Yeah, Lake Fork.
Lake Fork. I've heard that's a teeny tiny small lake. Is that true?
Bass fishermen love that lake.
Oh, now, is it larger than a 5-acre pond? Tell me.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit? Yeah, bass fishermen love Lake Fork. It's beautiful on the lake, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite part of living on the lake?
Nature. Oh my God.
I know.
I feel like the water puts off positive ions, and I love to just sit next to it, you know?
It does. It totally does. I like that, too.
So now you mentioned we're gonna start with food allergies. So
yeah, just figure out what he's eating that his body can't stand. Do away with it, and he'll have a blessing from that.
I listen to you all the time. So should we give up sugar completely?
Absolutely, you should. That's a great question. Yes, if you want to get well, give up sugar completely. Now, if he wants something sweet, what I would recommend is a bowl of fresh strawberries or blueberries. Actually, the one that's probably going to give him a big bang for the buck with pain and inflammation is going to be cherries. Cherries do a remarkable job of helping rid the body of excess inflammation. Wouldn't that be horrible for him to be sitting in a chair and you say, "Sweetheart, look at these fresh cherries I just made for you." What do you think he would do with that?
He would eat it.
Oh, he'd eat it.
Yeah,
that's a good plan.
But you know, I haven't seen cherries in the frozen fruit department. You keep talking about frozen cherries,
ma'am. I have nothing to do with the cherry shortage. Just because I mention it and everybody goes and buys them all, that is very rude. They should save some for you and your husband, right?
I know. I listen to you all the time. Yes.
I may have to send you to a different store.
And hopefully, this has helped somebody else. Because
yes, hopefully it has.
I'm running into somebody I've been taking medicine for 20 years for arthritis, you know, so.
And the thing of it is, it never goes away. It only gets worse. Only gets worse with medicine every single time.
Okay.
It's got to be very, very depressing to be a rheumatologist. That's the medical profession that's in charge of bad joints and arthritis. It's got to be depressing to try therapy after therapy. And you know, it never brings a person back to being fully restored again. Never.
And it looks like what they're doing is starting like a baseline. They're going to check his blood often to see if he's having trouble with these medications.
Oh, is that the reason for checking blood now? To see how much damage the drugs are doing to your kidneys and your liver, for example.
Yeah.
It's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yeah, and then with this one drug, they have him take, I think it's, folic acid?
Yeah, because it causes a severe deficiency. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they have him taking folic acid with this drug. So.
Yeah, it's like taking methotrexate.
Well, I'm going to start here.
Yeah, just consider these things, and it's a starting point to think about. But the prize is you get a happy, healthy husband.
So
how does he mow the yard, by the way? Does he have one of those old reel mowers?
He has one of those zero turns.
Oh, zero turn. That means he's driving 95 miles an hour, right?
they're just large lots is the only issue.
It just takes time, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just takes time.
Oh, you tell him I said he's a great man. I like him already.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, evidently line 2 actually works. The number here at the station on line 2, since line 1 does not work currently, it's 903-586-6592. Maybe I can do something to make up for the last few weeks where I haven't been able to take phone calls because line 1 currently has a fever. Somebody's calling line 1. I can't accept the phone call on line 1 because it doesn't work. But if you call line 2, I can. And line 2 is 903-586-6592. Do not call the other one. If you want to get on the air with me, call 903-586-659. There we go, 6592. All right, you figured it out. Way to go. I'm giving you an A-plus on your report card. How can I help you? We're on the air if you want to ask me a question.
Morning. I was wondering what we can do for shingles.
Who has it? Where are they located? And is this the first time?
It is the first time. My mother, she's 69, and they're on her right side and her chest as well.
Oh, poor thing's going to be miserable.
Yes.
How long has she had them for? 1 week, 2 weeks?
Going on 3.
Okay, are they showing signs of tremendous healing?
I think they're healing, but the pain is pretty bad.
Okay. I probably shouldn't say this, but there's a compound called urea. I'm going to let you figure out what that is, but if you apply that, that'll take the pain right out of it.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that so I can give the proper response. I would never recommend urea. It's not my job to do that. If she wants to put urea on those lesions, that's her choice, but I do not recommend doing it. So you see, I'm on record as not recommending it. But if you were at the beach and you had like a jellyfish wrap its tentacles around your leg and the pain's about like that, what would you do?
The same thing.
Okay, there you go. That's the answer. Now, let's talk about the other stuff. Sorry, but you know, you do understand that I do want to help people. I don't want to be deceptive and I don't want to tell a lie, but that's not a popular therapy. But if we don't resolve this, she may develop a condition called post-herpetic neuralgia, which means the crusty, scabby blisters and fluid-filled lesions, those go away, but the pain never goes away.
Oh, goodness.
Could you imagine how exhausting that would be to deal with that horrible pain every day the rest of your life?
Mm-hmm. Terrible.
Okay, so let me try to cover the easy things. Back in the 1970s, there was a prescription for a drug called Zostrix. Came in a tube, like a tube of toothpaste.
Uh-huh.
It's like a salve that you squeeze, but it's really just cayenne pepper. Or capsaicin. Have you ever heard the word capsaicin?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I think they sell a product called capsaicin P. P is for pain. And so one of the hallmarks of the shingles, the herpes zoster virus, is when it attacks the dorsal root ganglion of the nerve. This is a nerve infection, by the way. What happens is it releases what's called substance P. P stands for pain. I mean, this is all legitimate in the research. I'm probably like giving you too many details. You probably just want me to hit the punchline. But substance P is just the body's not stopping. It's just pumping the stuff out, sending pain signals, even though she's getting over the shingles. So what do we do to stop that? Well, enter the lovely, beautiful, gorgeous cayenne pepper. And so if she got this substance called Zostrix or capsaicin P, she could rub that exactly where she's hurting several times a day for like 3 weeks, and that will probably completely heal it and turn it off.
Good, okay.
I mean, you can please feel free to question every single thing I say. Look it up for yourself. But this used to be by prescription only, but now you can buy it over the counter. So one product is called Zostrix. The other one, that's kind of like a play on words. It's herpes zoster, and the product is called Zostrix. I'm so clever the way I put those two together. I'm just joking. Sorry, a lot of times I just try to explain it where it sticks in your mind, and so I think this is sticking in your mind. And so if she applies that to the area where she has horrific pain, it'll start the process of turning it off. It's a principle called counter irritation, and it really does work.
Okay.
I've actually had people come to see me that told me that if I couldn't help them, they were going to take their life because of either trigeminal neuralgia or Horner syndrome or facial palsy or shingles like what you're talking about. So, but we want to get the body to heal. I say at the core of it is a dysfunctional, weakened thymus gland, secondary to probably her having a fair amount of stress in her life. So she's probably got something she's dealing with that she just doesn't like.
Okay.
Besides her favorite daughter-in-law, I meant. She does have a favorite one, doesn't she?
Yes, absolutely.
And who would that be?
Me.
Oh, that's a coincidence. I didn't expect you to say that. So, but she is probably dealing with some stress day in, day out. Is that correct?
Yes.
So anything that's going to help feed, and this is maybe another point that I think is really spot on. The adrenal glands, they have so much to do with how the immune system does its job properly. And so maybe another way of suggesting what's going on here, if she's under chronic stress for a long period of time, it's just eventually going to wear down to where her body's going to break down and she's going to have an infection. That's what I'm saying. So if we could find some way to start nourishing and feeding the adrenal glands, that would be a move in the right direction. One of the most famous herbal remedies that tends to target and help the adrenals, you know, heal, it's called ashwagandha. You ever heard of the ashwagandha?
I have not.
Okay. It's supposed to give you the strength of 1,000 stallions. I always read that and I think, yeah, I'd like to have the strength of 1,000 stallions. Think of what I could accomplish. But no, I don't know. But it's just they say that because usually a person feels a lot better and they feel stronger. So that may be good for her. Now, going back to the thymus gland, the thymus has just about everything to do with how strong or vibrant or robust the immune system is. So in my mind, I always think that when somebody has one sickness after the other and it's hard to heal, that's really the thymus gland. And so let me say it slightly differently. There's two parts to our immune system that we have to deal with. One of them is called cellular immunity. That's going to be all the different types of white blood cells like macrophages, monocytes, lymphocytes. Actually, it's her lymphocytes right now that are supposed to clear up this infection. You have neutrophils or segmented neutrophils. Anyway, these are just different cells that are in the immune system. And when they underperform, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get sick. And so the immune system is regulated by the quality of how your thymus gland is able to operate. So the other part of the immune system is called humoral immunity. This is antibody production. And so if she's had this for 3 weeks, what that means in the real world is her thymus gland is not able to make the antibodies that she needs. So her thymus gland is exhausted. It's tired. I say we start feeding it so it can come back to life. And you can do that by taking what's called thymus extract.
Okay.
Usually it comes from a calf. I hope you don't find that offensive. There's a lot of people that do. I don't have a problem with it. If you told me that I had to eat beef liver today for lunch, I'd say, great. Where do I show up? I'll eat it.
Okay.
You know what my mother used to do? We had our own Guernsey cow. This was in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And sometimes it was my job to go out and collect eggs. So I took a golf club with me. You know, I took a golf club, chicken snakes. I did battle many, many times. But, you know, a golf club's kind of handy because you can always kind of hook the snake, try to pull it out of the nest. Those suckers hiss at you. You want me to imitate them? Sorry, that's free. There's no charge for that. Do you ever question if I'm normal? Sorry. But the thymus gland, that's a cow product. But she would take and make her own buttermilk, and she would actually soak the beef liver or marinate it with buttermilk, and that would kind of draw the impurities out of it. So I don't have any bad childhood memories of eating liver. I thought it tasted good. Most people, they freak out when you tell them liver. But what I want you to eat is some calf thymus. I'm sorry, what'd you say?
She likes liver.
Oh, she does? Well, you know what? Why do you think they call vitamin A vitamin A? It's known as the anti-infection vitamin. And vitamin A totally is what heals and repairs the nerve and the skin from infection. Guess what the greatest source of vitamin A of all time is?
Calf liver.
Bingo! Ding, ding, ding. You win. That's right. So if she eats liver and onions today for lunch, she's doing herself a huge favor. Or you don't have to do anything, I'm saying. You can just go get all the antiviral drugs, and we could just drag this sucker out for month after month after month. I don't want to do that.
No.
Your poor mama. She's only 69. I want to help her.
Thank you.
I bet she's a great woman, isn't she?
Yes, and I have one more question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
What do you do about calcium deposits under your shoulder joint?
Well, the shoulder's been injured probably. And are you talking about the acromioclavicular joint or a different one? Because you said shoulder. So the collarbone joins the sternum. That's called the sternoclavicular joint. It goes out to attach to the acromion process of the shoulder blade that forms a joint there. Is that the joint you're referring to, or is there a different one?
Right on the arm. It's not by the shoulder blade at all.
Okay, so it's not attached to the collarbone or the shoulder blade. It's more in the upper arm?
Yes.
Okay, how do you know there's calcium deposits?
I had an x-ray, and that's what they told me, but I refused any of the medications that they offered me.
Okay, no, and that's reasonable. And so they took an x-ray, and they said, hey, you got some calcification in this part of your shoulder, right?
Yes.
Okay, I would, if it were me, and I realize I'm just kind of giving you ideas, you're going to have to kind of search them out yourself. If you went to a website called YouTube, you probably haven't heard of that. It's only people like me that are super sophisticated that knows about top secret small websites like YouTube.
Yes.
Oh, you do know about it. Wow. It's kind of shocking, but good. If you were to go to YouTube, click on the search and type in shoulder mobility exercises.
Okay.
And I think that's going to be a start. And what you would do is you would attempt to do those. And the ones that are very hard to do, the ones you don't like, the ones that you hate, the ones that you say, how dare Dr. Morgan cause so much pain and suffering, those are the ones you need to run toward and the ones you need to do.
Okay.
And so, because one of the keys with shoulder calcification is you've got to restore the functionality of your shoulder. That's the only way through this.
Yes.
The other thing that I would do if it were me, and this is just pure genius. I'm really just joking. there's no articles on this, but I found that it works. If you rub fresh lemon juice directly over the area of pain, just let your skin drink it up.
Okay.
Now, you don't have to do that. You could rub diesel fuel on it. You could spray WD-40. I'm just going to say those are pretty toxic.
Right.
Gasoline, pretty toxic. Castor oil, pretty toxic. But I was thinking of motor oil. Castor oil is actually very good for the shoulder. I kind of botched that one, didn't I? So if you rub fresh lemon juice on that every single day, that may help tremendously. It's starting to... Can I just have artistic license here?
Yes.
If that starts to dissolve, break apart, get rid of the calcium deposits, resolve it, who's harmed? Nobody. What if you don't need to take prednisone or steroid injections or cocktail injections the rest of your life? Fine by me. So I would do that frequently, and there is an oil called castor oil, C-A-S-T-O-R. I went to, I got a haircut this week, and the lady was cutting my hair. She said, what do you do for a living? And I started explaining to her. And she goes, oh, my goodness, do you know how bad my feet hurt all day long from standing on the floor? And I'm going, I think I can imagine. She says, you're not going to believe this. somebody told me that if I put castor oil on my feet, that that might help. And so last night I went to bed, and I put castor oil on my feet, and I covered them with socks, and you're not going to believe it. This is the first morning I woke up without pain. And I'm going, wow, tell me more. But anyway, but that's great, though. I don't think I've ever heard of a person being rushed to the emergency room because of a castor oil on their feet overdose. Have you?
No.
Now, if you rub castor oil on your feet and you try to run as fast as possible across a slick linoleum kitchen floor, you might slide into the cabinets just a little bit. So the product that I recommend to your mother-in-law, the Zostrix or the Capsaicin P, that's definitely something you can do also to see if that helps your body resolve the inflammation. Now, can I tell you what the rule of the day is? And I think this benefits a lot of people. You've got to always remember, the body is going to calcify anything that's chronically inflamed. That's the rule. So if you have a calcium deposit on a tendon or a ligament on your shoulder, most likely there's been an injury that hasn't been resolved. But that's what the job of a doctor is to identify that and come up with a plan. How do we attack this? So shoulder mobility exercises, usually I just take my hammer and I just beat the heck out of it until I can break up all the calcium. I really do. You don't know how terrified people look when I do that to them. They think, are you serious? No, I just take my mallet out, and I have a chunk of wood that I use, and I just beat it and beat it and beat it until they can move their arm. And they go, oh, my goodness, did you look at that, Dr. Morgan? I can move my arm all of a sudden. How come that happened? And I'm going, that's because I broke it up. But that's one of the quicker ways to do that. But all these things I'm telling you, I think they're spot on.
Okay, it was great. Thank you for all the advice.
I hope it helps a bunch.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. Okay, let me give you out the new phone number in case you want to call me and ask a question. The number here at the station is 903-586-6592. There we go. Somebody got it. Well, I am so glad to take your phone call today. You got the right phone number.
Hey, but all right, sir. Tell me, what are they going to do here, and how many dollars do we get for it?
Good. I'm bidding $10 on that gold coin, that $20 gold
right.
piece.
$15, would you go
$20?
Thank you, sir. Now, all right, doctor.
Do I have to pay for it, or did I bid without money in my pocket? I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm broke. I really don't have $20.
Yeah, good sport, sir.
How's it going, Pasadena kid?
I'm doing well, sir. And you know what? I've been really enjoying listening to this today. And I want to ask you a question. I keep forgetting about it to call in. And this time I did remember. When somebody is trying to improve their voice quality, I don't know if you can tell mine, but it's a little hoarse today. And especially in the heat, sometimes when I'm auctioneering, I'll get kind of a real hoarse voice. What can be done for improving your voice quality? I've never asked any people that play music and sing what they do to improve.
Well, this is from my perspective. I'm not a singer.
Okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. I love music and I like singing, but I am not the one to stand up in front of people and sing the song soft as the voice of an angel. Okay, that's not going to happen.
Right.
Now, is it wrong at church for them to throw tomatoes at the person that doesn't sing so great?
No, my God.
Okay.
It's one noise.
And you'll have to forgive me, but there's two ingredients I can't remember. You're asking a good question, but I know bay leaves would be one of them. But if you were to go onto a website called YouTube and type in, what is the formula for breaking up all the phlegm in the vocal cords? They have like a little 2 or 3 minute video that shows somebody just cooking it on the stove. But I know bay leaves are in there. I think cloves are in there. But it just gives you the recipe on how you can make this home syrup to break up all the gunk and the phlegm and the, I call them biofilms, on your vocal cords.
Oh, goody. I had never heard of this.
Well, it's one of those things that requires a little bit of work and effort. And please, sir, don't let the W word scare you. I know that scares and terrifies a lot of human beings to say work. It's not bad. Just please be willing to try it.
It's like giving blood. You don't need to be afraid of that.
Well, but even if you are afraid of it, that's fine to confess that. But as long as you can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to face my fears, and I'm going to prove to myself it's okay. I've watched many of people pass out when they give blood, though.
Okay.
I'm going, sir, yeah. I'd love to help you, but I'm hooked up to a line right now. Anyway, go ahead.
Real quick question on that blood giving. You know, you spoke one day there's a right way and a wrong way to give it, and you give like platelets. Can you explain that?
Well, this is just my general answer to your question. I believe in giving what's called whole blood.
Uh-huh.
I don't really like the idea of giving platelets, but can I tell you why?
Sure.
I mean, there's some people that need to, and they probably qualify, so this doesn't count for them. Platelets are what run the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize how terrifying it is? I'm sorry, I shouldn't say it that way. That was kind of like leading statements that are going to scare people. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to scare anybody. But when your platelets are low, this is not good. It's not good. So if somebody has a blood test and their platelets come back at 91 or 89, that means the immune system is not going to be able to resist cancer growing or fight an infection. Platelets, literally, that's the number one system in your body that runs the show in the immune system. They're like little bitty Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. They surround a tumor. They release their spidey spider webs around the tumor. They contain it. Then as soon as they wrap around it, they start sending signals to your bone marrow, your stem cells, or your immune cells, and they start yelling this message, hey, we've surrounded a tumor down here or an infection. Get down here and help us.
Yay.
Send us some soldiers. We need backup. You know, like if you were in the jungle by yourself and let's just say in a war, yeah. Let's just say like in Iwo Jima, something like that.
Yeah.
Actually, what was it? Wasn't in Iwo Jima where they had all those dense jungles and snakes and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Crocodiles. Anyway, so if you're in the jungle and you're surrounded by the enemy, I'll just say it that way. I don't mean any ill intent toward any group of people like the Japanese, because, man, I love Japanese people. They're fabulous. But you have to call for, you need help, and that's what the platelets do. I need you to marshal all your forces and come down here and help us. So I don't like the idea of giving platelets. I know I kind of went hog wild on that topic, but... So keep your platelets, just give whole blood.
Okay.
I think that's what's going to give you the biggest bang for the buck. And I think also when you give, you're going to save an average of 3 lives. They're going to use that blood to save a human being.
The last time I gave blood was at Campus Christian Fellowship. They had the bus set up outside the church. And I didn't give the right kind, I guess, because I didn't ask specifically for whole blood to give.
Well, did they hook you up to a machine where they just tried to remove platelets or something?
Yeah, they didn't remove the... What is the alternate?
Well, they have. They might do like a double red where they use that machine. I forget the name of it, but you're hooked up for quite a bit longer, and they're just trying to extract the red blood cells. And there's a time and place for that. There's a condition called thrombocytopenia, and boy, they'll do it for that. And there's one called hemochromatosis, and those are all legitimate. They need help. But I think for the average person, like 99.9% of the population, donating whole blood is probably a good call or a good choice.
Yes, sir. Well, good. One more real quick question. I've kind of looked on the web to see what might be before I go and sing and do stuff like that and auctioneering. Is there any advantage of using breath? I heard you talk about different things like neti pots and stuff like that. I never have tried it, but breathing like the steam off of the...
Yeah, and that's what... Nothing breaks up mucus like that does. I like... there's a small plant. I actually think it smells so good. It's called thyme or thyme. T-H-Y-M-E. So if you put a spoonful of thyme into a tea kettle or a stainless steel... kettle that you bring to a boil, you could just stand over that with a towel over your head and just breathe it in through your nose,
mm-hmm.
for 10 minutes and see if that helps break up all that phlegm and gunk. So that formula I told you about, you can look up on YouTube. You could actually take what's called throat coat tea, And you could put raw honey in it. Now, I know what you're saying. You do not like the taste of anything sweet, but this is only for medicinal purposes. I'm just pleading with you. Please consider honey.
Cherries.
Yeah. But if you put lemon juice is really the greatest solvent that God's given us.
You could literally every day.
Oh, you're so smart.
Every morning for years, I've listened to you, and I've been doing honey and lemon.
Now, if you want to wreck your throat, let me tell you how to do it, okay? Just eat a bunch of sugar and junk food.
No, thank you.
Drink a lot. Just eat ice cream like there's going out of style right before you get up there and do your auctioneer job. And we'll wreck your vocal cords. And then let's wreck your immune system so you have one infection after the other that drains over it.
No, if you're coughing in church, I'd take your advice. I run from you, and I don't shake hands with everybody anymore.
But please, passing a kid, I want to hug and kiss you. I've got a COVID-32. Yeah, and that's really one of the things. If you're sick, you need to stay home.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call. Yes, and did you accept my bid for $20 on that $50 gold piece?
Yeah, I got 20 now, 30, 35, different now.
50, wait, is that? No, I thought we said 50, 20.
Oh, you bought it.
Okay, so where do I come pick it up?
Well, come on over to Van, and we'll be enjoying having what I eat, calf liver, is at Farmhouse Restaurant, the best place to get calf liver in East Texas.
All righty. Man, that's a bonus for everybody. It's called what again?
It's called the Farmhouse Restaurant, right off of Interstate 20, exit 540 in Van, Texas.
I can think of probably 10 people, but one lady in particular. She should go there for lunch today, right?
Absolutely. They've been there a long time, and they do it right, and they cook it real well.
Oh, man, I'm liking this. Thank you for telling everybody that, and me too.
My pleasure.
I appreciate you very much, buddy. I hope you have a great day.
Happy trails to you.
Thank you. All righty. The phone number here at the radio station online, too. This program is Health Essentials. My name is Roy Morgan. 903-586-6592. 586-6592. Or 6592. Or 6,592. How about that? Anyway, thank you very much for your phone call. God is so, so good to us. He gives us such a beautiful place to live. It's like the woman talking earlier or telling me that she just loves being outside on the water or near the water. Talk about healing and therapeutic. Sounds great. I want to do that. Good morning and welcome to the program. Not as excited as I am. I'm just thankful you got in.
I am, too. I've been trying. The dear lady...
Oh, my heart is beating so fast. Keep talking.
You're a munchkin.
I know.
The dear lady whose mother has shingles. Back in about 1990, Wayne called you from our farm because I was stricken with it. And I used the capsaicin tea. And... where I applied on the shingles, I was like on fire.
Well, of course, yeah. I forgot to mention that part.
And you told me to take a vitamin E capsule, stand the pain as long as I can, take a vitamin E capsule, pop it, and rub the E on the affected areas. And that just gentled that pain.
Oh, so when you put the vitamin E oil, that took care of it?
Yes.
Oh, good.
And I would tolerate it just as long as I could. And it did its job, the capsaicin P. The other thing is, I had rotator cuff surgery and they removed some of my, collarbone.
Ma'am, you do not have a cleft palate.
No, not in my shoulder.
No, not in the shoulder.
But he removed 2 centimeters, and he said, you will have arthritis. And so now at 83, I do have arthritis. And Wayne has been putting, every night, a little tea tree oil first.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good choice.
And then the, what did you say to use?
Lemon juice.
The other.
Castor oil.
Castor oil. He's been doing that faithfully every night for about 2 months.
You mean that will make cleft palate go away?
Yeah. You're never going to forget that.
No, I'm not.
But after about, now it's been about 2 months, I can sleep on my shoulder.
Oh, this is amazing.
Horribly, horribly.
Well, before, if you tried to lay on your shoulder on your side, it was just unbearable, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Bless your heart. Well, tell Wayne he gets an A+. Way to go, Wayne.
He gets a lot of A+.
Yeah, he does. He's an amazing man.
I have an issue with my knees. I had polio. We saw you when you first went into practice. We lived on a farm out in East Texas.
That was back in 1972, I think, if I remember back.
Can you remember that far back?
Yes.
They told me when I was 15 that I would have short leg braces at 50, long leg braces at 60, and if I lived to 70, I'd be in a wheelchair. So I'm 83, and I know that the muscles, that I have paralysis in every muscle, and my good part is so tired. And therefore, I'm having a lot of knee pain. And
well, you'll never be worse than the woman I saw yesterday. Ever. But she's already making great progress. So there's, if you go to YouTube, there's a channel I want you to look at. It's called Knees Over Toes.
Knees Over Toes, okay.
So if you'll start doing those, it's just with the amount of time that we have, I don't have enough time to get into all of it, but
okay.
you want your knees to serve you better, is that correct?
Of course.
Okay, well, and I don't mean to cut you off, but so if you look at knees over toes, you're going to look at all the knee exercises, and a lot of them are going to be totally nuts and crazy.
Okay.
But the only goal is, what do we do to restore? I mean, yours is a unique situation. When somebody has polio, their muscles just really aren't the same as somebody that's never had polio, obviously.
Yeah. They're just, the good part's been overworked since 1955. There is something, maybe you could look up and sometime address it. There's, I was told by a physical therapist, you, Mary, that has hydraulic, it sounds like hydraulic acid.
It's called hyaluronic acid.
Okay. Is that something long term that can help? Because
it's what the deal is. You want your body to make hyaluronic acid. So if you start taking a capsule or two or three of aloe vera every day, your body will start to make collagen, and it'll start to make hyaluronic acid. That's everything you want for your knee.
Oh, wow!
And it's been shown in studies very, very clearly recently. If people take aloe vera and they swallow it orally, then bingo. That's one of the reasons why I believe I've seen over and over again people heal from chronic musculoskeletal problems, joint, disc problems, just with the use of aloe vera.
So how, if you have the aloe vera gel, do you take that orally?
Well, in this study, they didn't do that. They just used the dehydrated version of it. But I say yes, yes, and yes. I agree. That's, the gel is good.
I don't like a teaspoon, a tablespoon a day?
Probably more like about 3 or 4 ounces.
3 or 4 ounces.
It's going to sound like this when you pour it. Glunk, glunk, glunk.
Yes. And I don't know if you remember way back when, you suggested apple cider vinegar equal parts with molasses, unsulfured molasses. To have that every morning. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's just one of the tonics that people use because it's rich in minerals. Now, if you want to ever make it big in the quilting game, you got to be able to do that. I'm sorry. Nobody knows the inside joke. Anyway, but unfortunately, we're completely out of time. I got to let you go.
Lord bless you and keep you. Yeah. Just hope
thank you. Good to hear from you. Tell Wayne I said hi.
Okay, thank you so much. Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye.